Fastball grounded slowly to the mound. Throw to the plate by Price, and it's not a good throw. It gets by Sopic. One run scores. Two runs will score on a second error charge to David Price here in the inning. And into second base goes Eric Thames. So two runs score on a play that David Price was making a terrific effort on.
A terrific effort? Not a terrific throw. And that turns out to be the play of the game, brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go, at RogersOnDemand.com. On second thought, probably should have had a different play as play of the game, because we'd never heard anything like it before. So let's see if Dylan Brown could call up the Brandon Morrow sensational ending of the fifth inning, which snapped a streak of 173 and a third consecutive innings for him without having induced a ground ball double play. It happened with Sean Rodriguez at first, one out, and Desmond Jennings at the plate in the bottom of the fifth.
Ground ball out to second, could be two. Johnson Field steps on the bag, one, back to first, call it two, a double play, and the inning is over. Kelly Johnson Field starts that aggressive double play, and Morrow claps his right hand into his glove coming off the field to his own third base dugout.
And Morrow was then showered by Ricky Romero, and he smiled and turned around to face his teammates, stuck up that big number one in the air because he hadn't induced a ground ball double play all season long. So how about that? Brandon Morrow finally gets the first one in his second consecutive dominant game. The Blue Jays beat the Tampa Bay Rays 5-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're keeping our eye on the races elsewhere across the major leagues. The Atlanta Braves going to the bottom of the ninth, have a 7-4 lead on the Washington Nationals right now. So last chance for the Nats, but the Braves, well, the Mets scored six in the ninth yesterday, though that was against the St. Louis Cardinals, a huge comeback there. Atlanta leads St. Louis by two and San Francisco by four for the wild card. St. Louis is tied 1-1 with the Chicago Cubs as they play in the top of the seventh inning in St. Louis. The Cubs, though, have a runner at third now and just one out. The Milwaukee Brewers have a magic number of two. If they win and the Cards lose, they clinch the National League Central Division. The Brewers and Marlins are tied 1-1 going to the bottom of the eighth inning. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have a magic number of one to clinch the NL West. They are playing the Giants this weekend, so that if they win any one of those games, they clinch the West. If they get swept, then all they have to do is win one of their games Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday to clinch the division. Right now, it's nothing-nothing Giants and Diamondbacks in the top of the third. In the American League, the Angels are trailing Oakland 1-0. That game is in the bottom of the first inning. Jameel Weeks, who hit his first major league home run yesterday, hit his second major league home run today. The Texas Rangers lead Seattle 5-3 in the top of the eighth. The Rangers' magic number to clinch the American League West is two. So if they win and the Angels lose, they clinch. The Angels, of course, are three games behind the Red Sox. The Rays 2.5 games behind the Red Sox for the American League wild card. The Red Sox and Yankees were rained out. They will play two on Sunday afternoon. Well, one Sunday afternoon, one Sunday night. Because if the Red Sox and Yankees play, it must be on Sunday night baseball. That I believe that's a law in the United States. I believe that's actually a law. Let's go to the phones, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start with Rob in Waterdown. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well.
Oh, I know you're not feeling that great.
Yeah.
Hope you start feeling better.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I hope that this string of performances can finally put to bed the notion that Brandon Morrow should be our closer. You know what? Even if he ends up being our number three starter down the line, that's what he is. He's a starter to me. I don't think he should be someone that we should bounce back and forth for a closer. But someone who I do think has a real good chance of being a closer is Joel Correa. And I know that you got some reservations about him against lefties, but I think he gets a shot, or he should be someone that we take a look at down the line.
He may be someone that they take a look at down the line. I don't love the idea, and I say this knowing how effective Mark Eichhorn was with the Blue Jays, knowing how effective guys like Dan Quisenberry and Kent Tekulve were in the 80s. I don't like, and Carreño's not a submariner like they were, but he's a slinger, kind of like Eichhorn was.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of a slinger as your closer, because generally the hitters who hit the opposite hand get a terrific look at them and wind up doing awfully well. I mean, look at it this year. Right now, Carreño, who pitched, he kind of pitched a 1-2-3-8. But going in to today's game, left-handed hitters had an OPS more than 200 points higher than righties against him. And that's in a year where he's been sensational. It's just, you know, for me, those guys can be very, very effective relievers, but I don't want them facing three lefties with a game on the line. And we haven't reached the point yet in Major League Baseball where a manager will take his closer out in a save situation when the matchups demand that he be removed. So
now you don't think he's a righty specialist like Octavio Dotel?
No, I don't. I don't. I think he can be fine, but I don't want him to be. Not that I don't want him. He's been terrific. I would be concerned about having him come into a game to face a boatload of good left-handed hitters. And if he's the closer, he'll come in those closing situations no matter who's at the plate, right?
Yep, and, you know, lefty lineup that's dominated by the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
In our division, that's who you have to be able to beat. You do have to be able to take down lefties if you're going to be a closer in the American League East. So.
You do. You have to take down everybody. And yep. And that's what I worry about with a slinger. But I think he's going to be a very, very big piece of the Blue Jays bullpen, no question about it, until such point where he moves back into the rotation, you know, like they did with Jimmy Key and Pat Henken and guys like that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the call,
Rob. Thanks for the call. Okay.
Appreciate it very much. Peter in St. Catharines. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Mike. Hope you're feeling better.
Well, I'm better at getting to be on the radio and talk to the people, for sure.
Yes. Hopefully, and stop by and get yourself an extra large honey lemon tea on your way.
Yeah, no, I don't believe in hot beverages.
No?
I think that the only thing that should be, the only liquid you should intake while it is warm is soup.
I do that too, but I drink tea when I'm not well.
I appreciate the advice, though.
Okay. Mike, we need you for the playoffs, too.
That's right. So. What's up, Peter?
Okay, yes. Yeah, I wanted to ask what you think about next year. Is this official now that Major League Baseball is going to add another wild card team?
It's very far from it. In fact, I don't think they are going to add another wild card team.
It's going to remain the status quo.
Yeah, I think we'll probably wait another year until they expand the playoffs. But again, who knows? I think right now they're leaning towards waiting.
Yeah, because to me, baseball is the last, only right now, the four leagues where, to me, the regular season means something, and I don't want them to ever go away from that.
They added two more teams 15 years ago. You know, right. It's fighting a losing battle, I think, that...
I'm afraid it's going the way of hockey and basketball.
Oh, I don't think we'll ever get there.
No?
I don't think, no. 162 games has to be worth something. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where more than half the teams in the league make the playoffs. Like hockey and basketball. Those of you who are listening to Primetime Sports on our network earlier tonight, they were talking about expanding the NHL playoffs to 20, which is, I mean, why not just let everybody in? Just start a playoff tournament in October for the NHL and wrap it up in April. Why bother with the regular season? The CFL, and I don't mind the CFL as an entity, but it is a joke that 75% of the teams in that league make the playoffs. And it was a joke when 75% of the teams in the NHL made the playoffs back in the late 70s and early 80s. It's ridiculous. What's also ridiculous? Actually, I don't know. But we'll come back with the scoreboard, and we'll take more of your phone calls. We're going to extend the Jays talk all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and on fan590.com. And again, lines open. I need you guys tonight. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays take down the Tampa Rays 5-1. Brandon Morrow, brilliant again. It's the Blue Jays Radio Network.
First pitch to Kelly, hit the right field pretty deep. Back for it, Matt Joyce. He's at the wall. He's running out of room. There she goes. Home run, Kelly Johnson, to go along with the double play he just started. And the Blue Jays soar out in front 5-0 here in the sixth inning.
Yeah, that was the pitch after Kelly Johnson started a 4-6-3 double play to end the bottom of the fifth inning. And that would have been, of course, the first double play on the ground induced by Brandon Morrow this season. Snapped a streak of 173 and a third innings without one. Close to the all-time record, which is held by Hall of Famer Don Sutton. And then Johnson goes and hits his third home run as a Blue Jay. Puts him up 5-0. They win 5-1. David Price takes the loss in this one. And that's only the second time in his career in 12 starts that he's lost to the Blue Jays. Second time this year as well. Brandon Morrow picks up his career high, 11th win of the year. And in his last 15 innings of work, Brandon Morrow has allowed 11 base runners and has struck out 17. He's given up 6 hits and 5 walks. And of those 6 hits, 4 of them have been infield singles. He has been just that good. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And we get to your phone calls. George in Toronto. Hello, George.
Yes, hello. You know, like, you've taken calls about the closers for next year.
Yes, I have, pretty much every night.
That's right. What would you think of using Henderson Alvarez?
I think that would be a big mistake.
Pardon?
I think that would be a big mistake, don't you?
Well, you're looking at him as probably at least a number 4 starter for next year.
Why would you be doing that?
Well, you have Ricky Romero.
Yes, you do.
Hopefully you have Brandon Morrow.
Well, Alvarez has pitched better than Brandon Morrow this year.
Well, he has, but it's just that, you know, like, he's a strike-throwing machine.
He is.
Basically.
He's been spectacular.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you.
Okay.
This is the question. Would you rather have, let's say, 180 quality innings out of Henderson Alvarez or 60?
I would rather have a good closer.
Okay, I'd rather have a great starter.
It's just a suggestion.
I understand. But I believe that there's far more value in a starting pitcher. You know, I understand it's been frustrating this year with the way the bullpen has gone for the Jays. But I believe that, well, pretty much anybody can close. And when you have a guy who can actually pitch and go deep in games and get outs deep in games, that's way more valuable than any closer.
Yeah, but say you can get 4 good frontline pitchers.
Better than him?
Better than him. Would you consider Henderson Alvarez?
I still wouldn't.
No?
Because I still think that if you're that stacked in starting pitching, then, you know, what's a terrific young starting pitcher worth on the trade market? The Jays got Brett Laurie for a guy who had 1 year of control left, or 2. Imagine what they could get for someone who's got 6.
Okay, just
yeah,
just throwing it out there.
No, I appreciate it. You're certainly not the first to have thrown it out there. I know where you're coming from. I do.
He's a great ground ball pitcher.
That's right, who can give you 7 innings. And those 7 innings are way more important than the 3 outs that a closer is going to get at the end of the game.
Okay.
Thank you, George.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate it. I like that, though, the tenacity of the George, not letting go. Studies have been done. Sonnets have been composed. Great stories have been written. Maybe not. But the truth is that there has been no change in the rate of games won when taking a lead into the ninth inning since the 20s. None whatsoever. The evolution of the bullpens, the closers, whatever, moving from Raleigh Fingers and Bruce Sutter to Dennis Eckersley and Mariano Rivera, there has been no change in the percentage of leads taken into the ninth inning that are converted into wins since the 1920s. I hate to say that anyone can be a closer, but anyone can be a closer. Bobby is in Hamilton. Hello, Bobby.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going. What's doing?
Well, you know, I've been a fan since 77, so, you know, I've watched the team go up and down. We were excited when we won. We haven't won because we're in a tough division, but there was a guy called the other last week saying that we couldn't get close to the Boston team or the New York team, and I just don't agree when you see a guy like Brett Lowry come on the field. Like, he's one of the most exciting players, young players out of Canada that's ever hit the field here. And when you couple him with Jose and these other guys, you know, it looks really positive. If they could just bring back the strong pitching, I kind of disagree with you. I mean, when we had Hinkie and Dwayne Ward and these guys making the moves, the team was a solid unit. It had it all. It had the starting pitching. It had the closing pitching. Everybody was working as a unit, and we won.
Yes, it's true,
but it all.
Dwayne Ward and Tom Hinkie couldn't start. That's why they were in the bullpen. They were great relief pitchers, but they couldn't start.
Yes.
So it's not like they took a guy who was going to be a terrific starter and threw him in the bullpen. That's my point. I think you can find a Dwayne Ward and Tom Hinkie, and I think they I don't know if they'll find those two, because those two are among the best relievers who've ever pitched for this team.
Absolutely.
I think you can find some good ones too. But I think to your overall point, I think you're right. There's so much reason for excitement and for optimism with the Blue Jays. And I know that there are a lot of people who just want to rain all over that parade. And I can't really blame them, given what's gone on in the Toronto sports scene over the course of the last almost 20 years.
Yeah.
But there's definite cause for optimism, no question. I share your excitedness.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, there's nothing better than being a fan of a winning team.
Yeah, we haven't had that opportunity.
Nothing worse than being a fan of a team that loses. You suffer every game.
Well,
so at least the guys are bringing in. Well, for me, you know, it's emotional. I mean,
well, I'm sorry if you're suffering every game, but I mean, if the Blue Jays,
we're not winning.
If the Blue Jays win one more game this season, that'll give them 5 years out of the last six where they haven't had a losing record. So
no,
it's not like you've been suffering every day.
No, we're not suffering. Like, we're in the back seat, though. We're not.
Yes, they are in the back seat.
We're not in the front seat.
No.
We've got a tough division. And, you know, I can't stand the Yankees, and I can't stand the Red Sox.
Nor should you. You shouldn't be able to stand the Rays either.
Yeah, well, we made some good action moves on them tonight, so I'm really happy to see that, despite Brett being out of the lineup. How serious is that injury?
That's a broken finger. It's nothing. He'll be fine. Not even a displaced fracture. No big deal. But you can't play with a broken finger. Thanks for the call, Bobby. I enjoy the enthusiasm and the excitement. And I, you know, I got to say, I have to call out some of the quote-unquote Blue Jay fans on the Twitter and some on the live blog who said that they hope the Blue Jays lose tonight and tomorrow and Sunday so that the Rays could catch the Red Sox. And you're not a Blue Jay fan if you hope the Jays lose. If you hate the Red Sox more than you like the Blue Jays, that's terrible. But also, let's not all forget, while people are getting so caught up in this whole Red Sox-Rays thing, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, with a win tonight, will be tied with the Rays. So you can root against the Rays all you want. You can root against the Red Sox all you want. Cheer for the Angels. And then you won't have to worry about the Blue Jays losing. Alfonso Soriano just hit a 3-run home run in the top of the eighth inning to give the Cubs a 4-1 lead on the Cardinals. And Ryan Braun just hit a 3-run home run to give the Milwaukee Brewers a 4-1 lead over the Florida Marlins. Both those games are late, one in the eighth, the other in the ninth. And if those scores hold, the Milwaukee Brewers will clinch the National League Central Division tonight. For more of the fine sports newsness of the night. And on the other side of which we will have, of course, more of your phone calls on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. The inning is over. No contact. Morrow just struck out the side, leaving two walks on. Fastball, a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Morrow with the first five outs of the game, all strikeouts.
Half swing going through is Zobrist. He's down on strikes, offering on that slider. Strikeout number eight for Brandon Morrow. That's out number one here in the seventh inning. After a long look, gets his sign. The 1-2 pitch, slider got him swinging. Number nine on the night for Brandon Morrow. He gets a pair in the seventh inning.
Brandon Morrow was really good tonight. For the second straight game, he was really good tonight. Although, I guess for the second straight game, he couldn't have been really good tonight. But for the second straight game, he was really good. Seven innings of two-hit shutout, one of them an infield single on which David Cooper kind of guessed wrong. Should have been an out. The other one legit, though, a ground ball up the middle. Over his last two starts, first against the Yankees, tonight against the Rays, Brandon Morrow has thrown 15 innings of six-hit shutout. Four of those hits have been infield singles. He has been that good. And again, this is why I've been saying all year, and this doesn't mean he's there by any means, but this is why I've been saying all year, do not close the door on Brandon Morrow. Do not jump ship, as so many of you have wanted to do over the course of the year, on Brandon Morrow. There's a good chance that he will make you very, very happy. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. I apologize for subjecting you to my head cold fueled voice. But the good news is that maybe we can get Jeff Samet really sick. He's going to have to come in here with like a bucket load of Lysol at 11 o'clock. We'll take your phone calls until then at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Greg is in Oakville. Hello, Greg.
Hello. You know, I really enjoyed the season, Mike. I thought it was like there was a lot of highlights of the season.
It was a lot of fun. It's not over yet. Five games left.
It was a lot of fun, you know. But, you know, as much as I love Brett Laurie, we did give up Sean Markham for him. And I think that one of the negatives this season, I don't like to harp on the negatives, was that rotation did take a step back other than Romero. And my question to you is that who do you see the Jays possibly getting Alex Anthopoulos possibly looking at in the offseason to boost through this rotation for next year?
Oh, I don't know that he'll really do much as far as looking to bolster the rotation for next year. I know that he's looked at Yu Darvish pretty hard, who is the premier pitcher in Japan right now. And unlike Daisuke Matsuzaka and Keiichi Igawa and the late Hideki Irabu before him, Darvish is a guy who's in his mid-20s. So hopefully you're getting and a guy who wasn't horribly abused arm-wise through his high school years.
I think from a fan's perspective, you know, we saw there was a lot of money that's been saved. Bruno Wells, Rios, even Holiday leaving, there's been a lot of money been saved.
Holiday.
Some money been spent.
Oh, a lot of money's been spent. Almost all the money that they saved on Bruno Wells, they gave to Jose Bautista.
Yes, but also they saved also on Rios. They saved on they didn't have to re-sign Holiday. They saved
Holiday.
Markham. Like, there is money to be spent. And I think from
sure,
a fan's
but they have lots of money. It's almost irrelevant. But it doesn't matter. And again, I'll reiterate what I've said many, many times. Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to set it on fire. You have to make the right decisions with your money.
No, but I think that, you know, in order to compete in this division, we're going to need to spend the money to get some. We can't just rely on a rookie squad.
Well, but that's what development is about, and that's what, you know, development seasons like this one and maybe next one will be about moving that rookie squad forward into the to the point where it's no longer a bunch of rookies. It's a bunch of guys who are young and, you know, have a couple 3 years under their belts in the big leagues and are ready to do some damage. But I don't think, I mean, if you give me a guy who's gonna help, who's more than marginally better than what the Blue Jays have right now, and you want to throw a big bucket load of money at him, sure. I got no problem with that. But there's nobody out there on the free agent market this year. The best starting pitcher that's going to be available is C.J. Wilson. C.J. Wilson is not significantly better than anybody that the Blue Jays have.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, yeah, so that's a little disappointing, I guess.
Well, I don't think so. I think if you look at what the Jays have, they can outstuff anybody in the big leagues. And it's just a matter of harnessing the stuff. And once that happens, if it happens with 40% of the guys, then you've got an amazing rotation.
Yeah, but Mike, it's been the same tune for the last few years.
That's not true at all. It hasn't been the same tune.
It has been.
Like, no, it hasn't.
500 club for quite a while, talking about what's coming.
A very, very different tune than 2000. And, you know, in 2006, we heard everything goes for 2010. We are building this team so that everything comes together in 2010. In 2007 and 2008, they had the best pitching in Major League Baseball. Easily the best pitching in Major League Baseball. You could argue that they had the best defense in Major League Baseball, too. They didn't hit enough, and there were a couple of areas where they really could have used an improvement that J.P. Ricciardi didn't improve, and they fell short. But you could make the argument, and I know that nobody wants to hear this, but you can make the argument that the Blue Jays had one of the five best teams in the major leagues in 2008, I think. Might have been 2007. Whatever. But they didn't make the playoffs. Then 2009 happened. Everything got blowed up, kind of. And Alex Anthopoulos came in. And the tune changed. And it was, let's hire scouts. Let's pump up the minor league system. Let's make trades for these guys who kind of aren't wanted elsewhere, but who are still young and really high-ceiling guys. And in 2009, the Blue Jays farm system was ranked 26th. Now it's ranked 3rd. This is definitely not the same tune you've been hearing for a long time.
Well, you know, but there has been optimism before, absolutely.
And, yeah, but there have been very good teams here before that have fallen short. And you know what?
Yes, but you know just as well as I do that you need to actually be starting to play meaningful games in September for it to matter.
Well, of course, you can't. I mean,
you know, like, so you've gone so many years without playing meaningful games, as much as you can talk all you want, but we need to start seeing some pennant races here in Toronto.
No, you don't. I mean, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful, but you don't want to rush things.
You play to win. That's what you do.
Of course you play to win, but you play to win for a long time rather than playing to win to have a little short three-year window like the Tampa Bay Rays.
You don't play to be 500 for years.
And like, no one
is
playing.
What I'm saying to you is that I really hope that AA goes out in this offseason and shows to the fans that he is committed to actually winning and start to spend some money that I think that he has to do.
Well, I think
in this division.
I appreciate the opinion, Greg. I think you're wrong because you seem to be advocating just going out there and spending money for the sake of spending money. When there's nothing on which to spend the money, you shouldn't spend the money. I mean, the Blue Jays could have kept Vernon Wells, they could have signed Jason Worth, and they could have given the Boston Red Sox a bucket of balls, and the Red Sox would have happily given them John Lackey. That would have increased the current payroll by over $50 million. And the Jays would be significantly worse than they are now. It's not about spending money. It's about finding the right guys on whom to spend the money. And when they're not there, a show to the fans, and Alex Anthopoulos has been doing nothing since he took over but showing the fans how committed he is to building a great winning team. I'm taking a look at the Twitter now. And at Harry Grewal, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, whose farm system ranked 1st and 2nd, I believe it's Kansas City and Tampa Bay, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Steve is in Toronto. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
What took you so long?
I don't know. The courage, I guess.
All right.
Nervous here.
I appreciate you working up the nerve. There's no problem. Just say hello to, 85,000 of your closest friends.
Hello there.
All right.
I just wanted to say that Brendan Moore, when he's on, I think he's top five pitcher in the American League. But when he's off, he's just horrible. I think we need one more year of him to see who he really is, and then we can judge.
I think I don't even know if you'll see who he really is in one more year. But
well, you'll have 3 years of him starting pitching, right?
Yep.
And you'll have a better example of what he really is.
Yes, you will. He'll still be, 27 and only 3 years starting. And if he doesn't go out and dominate next year, I would still not cut bait on Brandon Morrow.
Okay.
He won 10 last year. He won 11 this year. Could win. Maybe wins 12 next year. If he avoids those huge 6-week-long stretches of mediocre to poor, that'd be an enormous leap forward for him.
But would you say that we are a better fielding team now than we were at the starting of the year we had Corey Patterson and Rajay Davis?
Yeah. Well, I like Rajay Davis. I don't think Rajay Davis is as bad as everybody else seems to think he is. But Corey Patterson and Juan Rivera are gone now. And Patterson got a lot of time in center field. They had a couple of butchers at third base in Jason Nix and Edwin Encarnacion. Though Edwin has been okay since the end of June, but it was horrifying at the beginning of the season.
So they changed
that into Brett Laurie. So, yeah, they're much better defensively than they were.
So I think he's a little bit more confident in his defense as well. He doesn't have to go out there and try to strike out everybody.
I don't know about that because the defense has been pretty strong for the last couple of months. And until the last two starts, Morrow had been pretty awful for the last couple of months.
I think our best in-house closer for next year, I think, is Dustin McGowan. I think we have control of him for one more year.
Yep.
He throws 97 miles per hour fastball.
He does.
He does give up a few runs every 4 or 5 innings of work, so I think he can shut them down for one inning every third night, maybe.
Well, you need your closer for more than every third night. And I think that's the biggest concern with making Dustin McGowan a closer. What happens when he has to pitch 3 days in a row? Or what happens when he has to warm up 5 days in a row and he only gets into 2 or 3 of those games? I think you let McGowan start until his shoulder tells you that he can't do it. For the same reason that we talked about that with that earlier caller about Henderson Alvarez, you just get those quality innings. I think that Chad Beck is going to be a really interesting guy as far as the bullpen's concerned for next year.
Well, what I'm worried about McGowan is there's so much young starting pitching coming up with Nestor Molina. You got McGuire. You got Jenkins. You got Hutchinson.
Yep. McGowan's better than any of them.
For one more year.
Oh, but that's okay. I mean, first of all, it would be one of the worst things a human being could do if Dustin McGowan left the Blue Jays as a free agent after what's gone on the last 4 years. No?
True.
I think he kind of owes it to them more than anything else to stick around if they give him a fair offer. But even if it's one more year, then it's one year for him as a terrific starting pitcher. And I don't know that that makes a big difference.
He could rejuvenate his career.
He certainly could. One hopes he will, and one hopes he'll do it here as a Blue Jay.
Yep.
Thank you, Steve. You didn't have to be nervous. Good first time. Well done. Appreciate the call. I will let you all know that the Milwaukee Brewers have beaten the Florida Marlins 4-1, and that the Chicago Cubs lead the St. Louis Cardinals 4-1 in the ninth inning. Cubs have a runner at second and nobody out at the top of the ninth. The blue streak, Travis Campana. If the Cubs win this game, the Brewers clinch the National League Central Division. Dennis in Niagara Falls. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Mike. It seems like just yesterday I was calling you from Dunedin. Where is the season gone?
I know. It's crazy.
And I guess it just puts us one step closer to spring training.
Oh, God, I'm glad you said that. I thought you were going to say one step closer to a dirt nap.
No.
Which is true there, too.
I'm just not as concerned as most people are with our starting pitching and bullpen. The bullpen seems to have been a little solidified in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks. I'm happy with Litch, Jansen, Carina back there.
Yeah, Villanueva too. I think you've got a strongish core.
Forgot about him. Yep.
Yep.
And with Romero, Moro, McGowan, Alvarez. There's a good starting four with Drabek, Cecil, and the four guys mentioned from New Hampshire, possibly coming up sometime next year.
Certainly.
I think they're pretty solid. You read some of these message boards, and they want to trade the farm for someone like Greinke, and I don't see that.
Greinke's not coming here, so it doesn't matter.
Good.
Yeah. If Greinke was coming here, the Blue Jays would have made a good, solid effort to get him last year, but he was not willing to waive
the one name player. I'm just not sure about is Farina. Like he was being groomed as a closer, and I think he was injured all of the year.
Yeah, he had Tommy John
surgery.
I haven't
seen his name come up at all.
He had Tommy John surgery, so
he had Tommy John
for a bit.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but that's going to happen to a few guys, you know. Yeah,
I like Chad Beck there.
I like what I've seen out of Chad Beck too.
Yeah, heavy sinker,
the five batters he's faced.
Yeah, well, short sample, but still.
Yep.
There's potential there.
There is.
And I can't see moving some of these great starters into the bullpen like McGowan and Alvarez, as some people have stated.
You know what? If you put McGowan and Alvarez and Morrow in the bullpen, you are going to have a tremendous 7, 8, 9 innings.
And no starters.
But yeah, nothing. You're not going to be able to get anybody out over the first six.
That's right.
And people are kind of neglecting to remember just how important that is. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it very much. Time to sneak one more in. Jake in North York. Jake, got about 45 seconds.
Okay, Mike, look. You know, there's a saying that I hear too often on the radio, and it's, saying the fans want to spend money, lots of money, just for the sake of spending money. You know, that would never, ever be a business model. And I've never heard one fan phone in and say, look, we just want you to spend a lot of money. What they're saying, and
some guy called in and said that 10 minutes ago,
is that, no. What they're saying is that we can spend a lot of money for some top talent.
Sure.
They're not saying spend money just to spend money, you know, but you'd reverse it, and then you make it sound like it's stupid, like the fans are stupid.
Well, I don't think the fans are stupid at all.
Well,
but
this is what
I think
you're saying, and you know for a fact they're not saying. Not one person
except that that's
in.
What they're saying, because they're calling that. In. And
the question is, look,
all right, you got
if
10 seconds.
A lot of money on Prince, and offered Prince Fielder, and suppose he did want to come here,
uh-huh.
Would the team be better?
Yeah, and I would be fine with that. If Prince Fielder wanted to come here, I would have no issue at all with signing Prince Fielder. What I'm saying is, people want to call. That guy 10 minutes ago called and said they need to spend more money. He didn't say on whom. Give me some suggestions. There's nothing there to spend money on this winter. There just isn't. Maybe Darvish. If Fielder and Pujols want to come, all the better. Thanks to all those of you who called. Sorry to those we couldn't get. 6 o'clock tomorrow, some Webster winners for you. Sammet's next.